Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, October 16th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
President Trump and Joe Biden clash in dueling town halls.
The White House prepares to pressure Republicans on a stimulus bill.
Coronavirus infections surge in the Midwest.
And European regulators approve a Boeing 737 MAX to return to the skies.
Jewish leaders call COVID rules in New York State blatantly anti-Semitic. Plus, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says he was wrong not to wear a mask at the White House. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Le'Veon Bell released by the Jets, signed with Kansas City. Baseball playoff wins for Houston and Atlanta.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com.
And U.S. futures are little change this morning as we head into the final trading day of the week. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down less than a point. Dow futures down 20. NASDAQ futures up about 14. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. CAC in Paris up 1.1%. FTSE 100 up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.72%, and the yield in the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% at $40.36 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up 0.1%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. We begin with last night's dueling town halls from President Trump and Democratic nominee Joe Biden. On NBC, the president sparred with moderator Savannah Guthrie on issues ranging from his personal finances to conspiracy theories and, of course, the pandemic. President Trump continued to defend his toned-down rhetoric at the start of the outbreak.
I don't want to go out and say everybody's going to die. Everybody's
going to die. Isn't there a middle ground? You don't have to mislead, but you can.
No, there's not a middle ground. You have to be safe, you have to be vigilant, and you have to be smart.
Guthrie also pressed the president on a New York Times report detailing his finances, including hundreds of millions of dollars in debt.
Are you confirming that, yes, you do owe some $400 million?
What I'm saying is that it's a tiny percentage of my net worth.
President Trump appeared to confirm about $400 million in debt, but said it's, quote, not a big deal. He was also questioned about support from QAnon, a far-right conspiracy theory that claims Satan-worshipping pedophiles are plotting against the president.
I just don't know about QAnon.
You do know.
I don't know. No, I don't know. What I do hear about it is they are very strongly against pedophilia, and I agree with that.
The president also defended a tweet of a separate conspiracy theory which claims SEAL Team 6 didn't kill Osama bin Laden and instead killed a body double.
Over on ABC, former Vice President Joe Biden attacked the president's response to the pandemic and his stance on protective face coverings.
The words of a president matter.
Absolutely.
No matter whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, they matter. And when a president doesn't wear a mask or makes fun of folks like me when I was wearing a mask for a long time, then, you know, people say, well, it mustn't be that important.
Biden also broached the issue of race, offering a message of unity in the wake of unrest across the country.
We're a diverse country. And unless we are able to treat people equally, we're just never going to meet our potential. But I think the American people want to see that happen. I think they're ready to see it happen. And I tell you one thing, if I'm elected president, you will not hear me race-baiting, you will not hear me dividing, you will hear me trying to unify.
Biden was also pressed on the prospect of packing the Supreme Court. The former vice president said he's not a fan of expanding the number of justices, but left the door open for doing so.
It depends on how this turns out. Not how he wins, but how it's handled. How it's handled. But there's a number of things that are going to be coming up, and there's going to be a lot of discussion about other alternatives as well.
Joe Biden says he will make his stance on the Supreme Court clear before the election next month.
Well, in other news, a passenger on the Democratic presidential nominee's campaign plane has tested positive for COVID-19. Biden's campaign manager says an employee for the aviation charter company the campaign uses sat more than 50 feet from the former vice president, and both Biden and the person in question were wearing masks.
Back in Washington, it looks like President Trump may get more involved in the ongoing stimulus talks. And we get the very latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, the president would personally lobby reluctant Senate Republicans to get behind any stimulus deal. That's what Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin told House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. A Treasury official confirmed the call. President Trump says he's willing to go beyond the current $1.8 trillion offer, but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has rejected that. And Speaker Pelosi tells Democrats a key priority in negotiations has been resolved, but now the president faces opposition from his own party. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. As the stimulus negotiations drag on, the coronavirus is spreading in the Midwest. Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio, and Michigan are all seeing big jumps in cases. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers says his state is reaching a crucial moment.
We're at a critical point in the battle against this virus. We've had many record-setting days recently for hospitalizations, new cases, and COVID-19 deaths.
The latest tally shows daily U.S. infections reaching nearly 60,000. The seven-day average of 52,000 is now at the highest level in more than 2 months.
Turning to corporate news now, shares of Boeing up more than 2% this morning. That's after Europe's top aviation regulator said he's satisfied with safety changes to the 737 MAX, and the plane may return to the skies this year. We get more from Bloomberg aviation reporter Siddharth Philip.
The fixes that Boeing's been working on since the plane was grounded have been reviewed. They were conducted in test flights across America. And essentially, the fixes are deemed to be good enough for the plane to return back into safety.
The 737 MAX has been grounded for 18 months following two fatal accidents just months apart.
Let's look at some stocks that are moving in Europe this morning. Shares of LVMH are up more than 6.5%. The owner of Louis Vuitton enjoyed an unexpected rebound in the third quarter. Daimler shares are up 3.5%. The parent company of Mercedes-Benz posted better than expected profit. And ThyssenKrupp shares are higher by just about 15%. That's after Liberty Steel offered to buy the German company's steel unit.
And S&P futures are a little changed this morning, down about 2 points. Dow futures down 24, NASDAQ futures up 10. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.72%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.13%, the euro 1.1714 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks very much. 6:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Three Rockland County Jewish congregations are suing New York State and Governor Andrew Cuomo. The lawsuit filed in Manhattan federal court accuses Cuomo of engaging in a streak of anti-Semitic discrimination with a recent crackdown on religious gatherings to reduce the state's coronavirus infection rate. Cuomo spoke earlier during a teleconference call about the virus red zones.
Of the outbreaks that we have had in New York, the clusters that we talk about in New York, would have happened had we had compliance and had we had enforcement.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio.
We are just flooding the zone with testing. We're saying to everyone, whoever you are, wherever you are, get tested, particularly in these zones, but well beyond the whole city, get tested. Certainly if you haven't been tested in a while or you've never been tested, get tested.
Meanwhile, de Blasio and Cuomo are clashing again. De Blasio says he is used to the bluster from Albany a day after Cuomo threatened to withhold funding from schools and local governments for not following coronavirus restrictions. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who was hospitalized for COVID-19, says he was wrong not to wear a mask when he visited the White House. He urged people to take steps to prevent infection. In a statement, he says he has recovered from COVID-19 after 7 days in the hospital. And went on to say, I believe that when I entered the White House grounds, that I had entered a safe zone due to the testing that I and many others underwent every day. I was wrong. An American Bar Association affirmed the support for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. Pamela Roberts with the ABA appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday.
Judge Barrett had demonstrated professional competence to exceptional and sufficiently outstanding to be rated well qualified.
In other testimony before the committee, the president of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights under Law suggested that Barrett's interpretation of the Constitution is outdated. It may impact the rights of minorities, women, and the LGBTQ community. Kristen Clark is the president of the group.
Judge Barrett's strict adherence to originalism and textualism stands to turn our country back decades.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Right, good morning, Nathan. You had to like the Dodgers' chances of tying up the National League Championship Series. They had three-time Cy Young winner Clayton Kershaw on the mound. Atlanta had 22-year-old Bryce Wilson, who had made only seven big league starts, none in the postseason. Yet the Dodgers, the night after scoring 15 runs, 11 in the first inning, managed only one hit and six innings off Wilson. The Braves, meanwhile, scored nine times over their last three at-bats. They won Game 5 10-2. They lead the series 3-1. The Braves can win their first pennant in 21 years tonight. Tampa Bay has had two chances to win the ALCS. Game 5 with Houston began with the Astros' George Springer hitting the first pitch for a home run, and then came the last pitch.
Pitch on the way, and Correa hits it in the air. Pretty deep to center, sends back Kiermaier at wall. See you later, and see you tomorrow. The Houston Astros win it at the bottom of the ninth on Correa's walk-off homer. 4-3, and there will be a Game 6.
Correa's sixth home run of this postseason. Astros radio the call. Used to just the fourth team to force even a Game 6 when once down 3-0. The Mets did it to Atlanta in 1999. Of course, the Red Sox came all the way back versus the Yankees in 2004, only time that's happened. It worked out nicely for Le'Veon Bell. He goes from the NFL's worst team to the defending Super Bowl champs, released by the Jets. Bell signed with Kansas City. Tyronn Lue coached Cleveland to the NBA championship 4 years ago. Now the new coach of the Clippers. He had been Doc Rivers' assistant in L.A. Rivers now in Philadelphia. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Let's take a look at the markets as we head toward the Friday open. S&P futures are a little changed right now. Dow futures down 14 points. NASDAQ futures are higher by 14 points. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.72%. 2-year Treasury yield 0.13%. NYMEX crude down 1.2% or 52 cents, $40.44 a barrel. COMEX gold is up $4.10 to 1913 even an ounce. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are little changed this morning as investors consider the stalemate over U.S. stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures, again, little change. Dow futures down 6. NASDAQ futures up 17. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.72%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.2% or 49 cents at $40.48 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $4.20 at $19.13 an ounce. The euro 1.1718 against the dollar. British pound 1.2939 and the yen 105.26. Today we are watching for a report on September retail sales at 8:30 Wall Street time. Industrial production and capacity utilization are out at 9:15, and it's consumer sentiment at 10, and state strings among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump and Democrat Joe Biden showed striking differences in temperament, views on racial justice, and approaches to the pandemic that has reshaped the nation in dueling televised town halls. On NBC, President Trump was asked during his event about his alleged $400 million personal debt, including some to prominent Russians and other foreign entities.
I don't owe Russia money. I don't know. I owe a very, very small. It's called mortgages. Yeah. People have a house. They
any
put a
foreign
mortgage.
Bank, any foreign entity.
Not that I know of, but I will probably, because it's so easy to solve.
Biden denounced the White House's handling of the virus. In his ABC News town hall, Biden vowed his presidency will be one of unity and of all Americans feeling equally regarded.
It's not about Democrat or Republican. If I get elected, I'm running as a proud Democrat, but I'm going to be an American president. I'm going to take care of those who voted against me as well as those who voted for me.
In the baseball playoffs, the Astros and Braves are winners. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. 6:19 now on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more on last night's split-screen moment in the presidential race. Terry Haynes is back with us this morning, founder of Pangea Policy. We heard the contrast just now, Terry, not just in tone, but in approach to some of the key issues for voters in this race, particularly on the economy and handling of the coronavirus. What takeaways do you have?
Thanks, Nathan. Good morning. A couple of things. One is, you know, there's always a style versus substance thing in these debates. Style is more immediate. Substance is on a longer burn. On style, paradoxically, I think the candidates are playing across purposes, really. Biden is trying to woo crossovers, being calm, being presidential. Trump is being combative. I mean, choosing NBC to do this is a perfect example, and riling up his base, and it's much less about the crossovers. That's in direct contrast to what they've been doing in the campaigns, by the way, where Biden's been trying to shore up a base and Trump's been trying to appeal to crossovers. On substance, the longer burn stuff, whatever else you have to say about Trump, there weren't really any surprises, but there are some longer burning fuses for Biden, I think, on fracking and Green New Deal, which he didn't really put to bed, the effect of the tax program, the court packing, that sort of thing. And then, of course, for Trump voters anyway, the looming question was, you know, why wasn't the New York Post the story even broached by George Stephanopoulos, that sort of thing. So, you know, I think it's net-net, it's a wash, but they both did what they had to do.
So it's sounding as though you're thinking that these town halls might be more of an indictment on the moderators themselves than on the candidates. Is that kind of what your takeaway was? And does that have any resonance with voters?
Well, I think it's let me take your second question first. I think that's a subsidiary question for the vast majority of voters. But at the same time, concerns about those things tend to be tone setting, and both candidates will try to make of those what they can to help their own campaigns. I mean, you know, Biden showing that he's calm and in command and there for a while and even staying afterwards, and dealing and having a very low-key event by contrast with the first debate, whereas Trump wants to continue to do everything he can to be combative and rile things up, and that includes being combative with the media, which plays into his own personality and his own strategy and the like. So, they try to use it as best they can, absolutely.
Are the candidates going to have to do more to give firmer answers to some of the questions that they've evaded on Trump's side? You know, the question of whether he's willing to disavow the QAnon conspiracy theory and some of his questionable retweets. And for Biden, and the questions that you pointed out of his position on fracking and on court packing.
I think the answer is yes to both of those. I think there's voter concern about Trump's supposed affinity for right-wing groups and the like, and they need to talk about that a little bit. And I'm not going to offer advice to the Trump campaign, but they need to not only talk about that, but put it into some contrast, the ways that will be both truthful and more effective for them, not only right-wingers, but kind of the left-wingers, Antifa and the like. And Biden, of course, I think doesn't put any of these questions to bed. He's going to have to talk about court packing. He's going to have to talk about the direction he wants to take the country. He's going to have to talk about Green New Deal. And meanwhile, what you have is, and answer questions about the New York Post story, for example. And meanwhile, what you have is a continued tight race in the battlegrounds. So all that's going to matter enormously as both these folks try to seal the deal.
All right, Terry Haynes, we'll leave it there for now, but I'm sure we're going to be talking much more with this election now a little more than 2 weeks away. Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy, with us on Bloomberg Daybreak this morning after the split-screen event, competing town halls for President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden ahead of next week's potential
what would have been third debate, now second and final debate coming up next week. Head of the open on Wall Street, seeing a little bit of green on the screen, call it light green, with S&P futures up 3 points now, Dow futures up 22, NASDAQ futures are higher by 30 points. 10-year Treasury is up 3/32, yield 0.72%, 2-year Treasury yield 0.13%, and the yield on the long bond, the 30-year, 1.49%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. It's now 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Last night featured dueling town halls from President Trump and Democratic nominee Joe Biden. On NBC, the president sparred with moderator Savannah Guthrie on issues ranging from his personal finances to conspiracy theories and the pandemic, including the effectiveness of protective masks.
I'm good with masks. I'm okay with masks. I tell people wear masks. But just the other day, they came out with a statement that 85% of the people that wear masks catch it.
Well, so, you know, this is a very tricky. They didn't say that. I know that study. That's
what I heard, and that's what I saw.
Meantime, on ABC, Joe Biden continued his attack on the president's response to the pandemic.
He missed enormous opportunities and kept saying things that weren't true. It's going to go away by Easter. Don't worry about it. It's going to all when the summer comes, it's all going to go away like a miracle. He's still saying those things.
And when it comes to the Supreme Court, Biden said he's not a fan of packing it, but did leave the door open to it. President Trump appeared to confirm a New York Times report detailing about $400 million in debt, but said it's, quote, not a big deal.
More in those town halls coming up, but first, the latest on stimulus talks. We're seeing signs that President Trump may get more involved in the ongoing negotiations. That's if Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi can reach a deal. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, President Trump has repeatedly blamed Nancy Pelosi for standing in the way of an agreement. Yet it's Senate Republicans he seems focused on now. It's unclear just how much he can pressure them. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the president wants a much larger bill than he can sell to GOP lawmakers. Speaker Pelosi tells Democrats a key priority in negotiations has been resolved, but now the president faces opposition from his own party. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Shares of Boeing are up 3.5% in early trading. Europe's top aviation regulator says Boeing's revamped 737 MAX is safe to fly. The jet's been grounded for 18 months after two deadly accidents.
And in the UK, Boris Johnson is set to decide whether to abandon trade talks with the EU. That's after the bloc refused to give the prime minister the clear signal he wants to remain at the negotiating table. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures have now turned higher, and they're extending their gains. They're up 6 points now. Dow futures up 50. NASDAQ futures up 33. The DAX in Germany's up 1.1%. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32. Yield 0.72%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. And the euro, 1.1720 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by the new Land Rover Defender, the toughest and most advanced Land Rover vehicle ever. Test drive the new Land Rover Defender at your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer today. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you very much. Instead of debate night, it was dueling town halls night. President Donald Trump and Democrat Joe Biden showed striking differences in temperament, views on racial justice, and approaches to the pandemic. Trump defended his administration's handling of the coronavirus. He was evasive when NBC's Savannah Guthrie pressed him about whether he took a required COVID-19 test before his first debate with Biden. Trump refused to denounce the QAnon conspiracy group and asked for white supremacists.
You always start off with a question. You didn't ask Joe Biden whether or not he denounces Antifa. I watched him on the same basic show with Lester Holt, and he was asking questions like Biden was a child.
Well, this is a little bit of a dodge.
Are you listening? I denounce white supremacy.
Biden on ABC denounced President Trump's handling of the virus. He also discussed his support of the 1994 Clinton-Biden crime bill, saying it may have worked in some places but failed in others.
An awful lot of people were jailed for minor drug crimes after the
exactly
crime.
Right.
Was it a mistake to support it?
Yes, it was.
Biden said his pledge to repeal the 2017 tax cuts would only apply to the wealthy and that he would leave the middle class cuts untouched. Russia reportedly targeted President Trump's personal lawyer. U.S. intelligence officials warned the White House last year that Rudy Giuliani was being targeted by Russian influencers to feed misinformation to the president. That's according to current and former administration officials with knowledge of the briefing. The information in part was related to Giuliani's trips and contacts in Ukraine. The Washington Post first reported that the group warned the White House, and that included Attorney General William Barr and FBI Director Christopher Wray. Jewish leaders have filed a lawsuit against New York State and Governor Andrew Cuomo. Three Rockland County Jewish congregations say Cuomo engaged in a streak of anti-Semitic discrimination with a recent crackdown on religious gatherings to reduce the state's coronavirus infection rate. Governor Cuomo spoke earlier about the red zones in a teleconference.
If you look at where the outbreaks are coming from, they are situations where there was a lack of compliance, and a lack of compliance matched with a lack of enforcement.
Cuomo says he has respect and love for the Orthodox community. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All righty, Michael. Thank you. We're coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. The Houston Astros are halfway to doing something only one team's ever done. The Red Sox beat the Yankees after trailing 3-0. Unlike 2004, Sox had those two dramatic wins in Boston, then two in New York. The Astros are staying right in San Diego, where they've had now a pair of 4-3 victories over Tampa Bay. Game 5 coming on a Carlos Correa walk-off home run in the ninth inning. The Rays still lead the series 3-2. And Game 6 is tonight before Game 5 in the NLCS, which is now 3-1 Atlanta. The Braves 8-1 in the postseason. They were coming off that 15-3 loss to the Dodgers, but they won last night 10-2. Marcelo Zuna hit two home runs, had four hits, four RBIs. Le'Veon Bell began the week with the 0-5 Jets and ended it with defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City. Signed just for this season, he won't play Monday against Buffalo, but Bell has November 12th circled. The Chiefs play the Jets, who just released him. Latest NFL team with a positive COVID test, the Atlanta Falcons. Not a player, but a member of the organization, but they did shut down the facility yesterday. Odell Beckham had to leave Cleveland Browns practice feeling ill. They're awaiting COVID test results. The Browns have a big game Sunday in Pittsburgh. Speaking of big games, Nick Saban still hoping to attend Alabama's showdown game tomorrow with Georgia. Despite testing positive, Saban would need to have three negative tests. The Clippers named Tyronn Lue their new coach. He had been in L.A. assistant under Doc Rivers. The Van Gundy brothers both may make the move from broadcasting back to coaching. Stan is in talks with New Orleans. Jeff, the former Knicks coach, interviewed with Houston. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Coming up this morning, we get another reading on the health of the U.S. consumer. An economist's forecast September retail sales increased 0.8%. Here with more is Bloomberg's Finney DelGiudice.
In August, retail sales rose for the fourth month in a row, climbing above pre-pandemic levels. Bloomberg Economics says motor vehicle sales will probably lift today's headline, basing that forecast on recent reports from individual auto manufacturers. Gasoline prices have been stable and probably won't be a major influence on today's data. Vinny DelGiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. And as we wrap up a week of earnings from big U.S. banks, the five biggest firms are on pace for their first $100 billion year for trading revenue in more than a decade. Details on that from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
In just three quarters, they've already generated almost $84 billion more than any full year since 2010. Sell-side traders rode a wave of activity as markets plunged at the start of pandemic-spurred lockdowns before embarking on dramatic rebounds. J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley all saw trading revenue surge more than 20% for a third straight quarter. The totals were not as staggering as the second quarter, which was a record for modern Wall Street's trading and deal-making units. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Just before 6:39 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Microsoft is among the companies aiming to become carbon negative. The software giant is looking to achieve that goal by 2030. To help further its efforts, Microsoft has signed a letter of intent to collaborate with the Norwegian energy giant Equinor. Microsoft is interested in the Northern Lights project, which would capture carbon dioxide from industrial plants in the Oslo region, liquefy the gas, and transport it offshore for storage in reservoirs beneath the North Sea. State-owned Equinor is working on the development with Royal Dutch Shell and Total. The partners have given the green light to the first phase of the project, which is subject to a final investment decision by the government to cover most of the cost. Microsoft will look at ways its software expertise can be integrated into the project. It ultimately intends to make Northern Lights a part of its carbon dioxide reduction portfolio. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Jeff, thank you. A hack attack on the popular Robinhood Markets app was more widespread than previously known. Bloomberg News has learned almost 2,000 accounts were compromised in a hacking spree that siphoned off customer funds. Last week, Robinhood said just a limited number of customers had been struck by cyber criminals. Jack Ma's Ant Group plans to increase the valuation to what would be a record-breaking IPO. Sources tell us Ant's target is now at least $280 billion due to strong demand. Ant hopes to raise about $35 billion in the sale. Company plans to list shares both in Hong Kong and Shanghai on the same day. And fewer Americans are going to go trick-or-treating this Halloween during the pandemic. The worst effects may be felt in Africa, where the raw material for chocolate is grown. Top cocoa producers in the Ivory Coast and Ghana may struggle to keep paying farmers a premium. Chocolate makers in the U.S. are likely to buy less this year. Halloween sales account for 10% of Hershey's business. Futures pointing higher now. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are rising this morning. S&P futures up 8.5 points, Dow futures up 70, NASDAQ futures up 49, the DAX in Germany's up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.72%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 36 cents at $40.60 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.60 at $19.14.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1722 against the dollar, British pound 1.2957, and the yen is at 105.24. We are getting earnings this morning with Bank of New York Mellon's third quarter profit beating analysts' estimates. And it's a busy day for economic data. Today we're watching for reports on September retail sales out at 8:30 Wall Street time, industrial production and capacity utilizations out at 9:15, and it's consumer sentiment at 10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump and Democrat Joe Biden showed striking differences in dueling televised town halls. Trump defended his administration's handling of the coronavirus. He was evasive when NBC's Savannah Guthrie pressed him about whether he took a required COVID-19 test before his first debate with Biden.
Do you take a test every single day?
No, but I take a lot of tests.
Okay, and you don't know if you took a test the day of the debate?
Possibly I did, possibly I didn't.
Trump refused to denounce the QAnon conspiracy group. Biden on ABC denounced President Trump's handling of the virus.
He said he didn't tell anybody because he was afraid Americans would panic. Americans don't panic. He panicked. He didn't say a word to anybody.
Biden said his pledge to repeal 2017 tax cuts would only apply to the wealthy and that he would leave the middle class cuts untouched. In the baseball playoffs, the Astros and Braves are winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Take the bond challenge by using the free IBKR bond search tool to compare available yields against those of your broker. Learn more at IBKR.com/bonds. Now let's check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include senators threatening to subpoena the CEOs of Facebook and Twitter over a New York Post story they blocked. Stephen Mnuchin saying the president's going to lean on Mitch McConnell if there's a stimulus deal with Democrats, and early voting records shattered. with 2.5 weeks till Election Day proper. Also making news, last night's competing town halls. Let's get more on all these stories now from Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. So depending on which channel you wanted to tune into, you got to choose your own candidate last night. Kate, where do these competing town halls leave the race itself?
Well, I think that what we saw was a very unusual situation last night, but one that is in some ways fitting, you know, for the political climate that we find ourselves in. It was, as you say, kind of choose your own candidate. And so I think that, you know, the fact that, you know, in all likelihood, most Biden supporters tuned in to hear Biden and most Trump supporters tuned in to hear Trump, and that the polls show there's not a lot. There isn't a very high number of undecided voters at this stage in time. It seems unlikely that, you know, anyone's mind was really changed last night.
Did you get a sense that either the president or the former vice president made any effort to appeal to that potential swing voter, as much of a sliver as it may be?
Well, I think on Trump's side, we saw more of what we've seen, you know, at his rallies and on the campaign trail elsewhere is, you know, him really doubling down on trying to appeal to his base. You know, I think that's been his strategy pretty much all along. That's where he's comfortable. He's talked about that in the past. And I think that that's, you know, with, you know, his comments about QAnon and on other issues, I think we saw him really just trying to double down on energizing that base. And I think he thinks by getting those people to the polls, that's going to help him on November 3rd.
It's interesting to have events like this happening as early voting is underway, and we are starting to see some of those returns come in, and there have been a lot of people heading to the mailboxes.
Absolutely. It's been a record number, and, you know, there's voting in some form underway in most states at this stage. You know, there's mail-in voting, there's early in-person voting in places like North Carolina. And I think that some of the early indications that we're getting is that, you know, these mail-in ballots at least are trending towards Democrats. Now, what that means in the end in terms of how the race is going to go, you know, isn't necessarily indicative, but I think that, you know, certainly it makes sense given, you know, Trump's repeated assertions that there are problems with mail-in voting and, you know, his, you know, that you can conclude from that, that he's really wanting his supporters to show up to the polls.
And you got to wonder whether Republicans are thinking that they might try to get their vote turnout on Election Day itself. I mean, there are a lot of questions about how that's going to work, given the long lines we've seen for early voting.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, I mean, that's always a question, right, is, you know, particularly is really how motivated a voter is. You know, if you're willing to stand in line for better part of an hour or longer to cast your ballot, that, you know, is a more motivated voter, obviously. I think that, you know, the fact that we're already seeing these long lines, as you say, in places like Texas and Georgia, I think is indicative that there could be a lot of interest in this election, that we could see even more lines on November 3rd. And I think that, you know, it also another kind of element to put into the mix there is, you know, the social distancing measures and the concerns that people have surrounding the coronavirus that I think could, you know, there could be some segment of the voting populace that, you know, just doesn't want to deal with that and so therefore decides not to come out.
Only about 30 seconds left here. Where do we stand on stimulus and Republicans sort of bridging the gap within the party?
Well, I think it's still a very heavy lift. I think that, you know, yesterday we heard a lot from the White House about, you know, how a deal wasn't impossible at this stage. But I think it's very hard to imagine how one would come together between now and Election Day.
All right, Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. And you can read more on these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. 6:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a world-class polytechnic university that makes a lasting difference in the lives of its graduates and the businesses that employ them. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. A new payload that SpaceX will deliver into orbit next month will play a pivotal role in measuring sea level increases. The Sentinel-6 Michael Frelich satellite lifts off November 10th aboard a Falcon 9 rocket that will be launched from California. Its mission is to track how the accelerating rise of sea levels are changing coastlines threatening the habitat of more than a third of the world's population. A hack attack on the popular Robinhood Markets app was more widespread than previously known. Bloomberg News has learned that almost 2,000 accounts were compromised in a hacking spree that siphoned off customer funds. Last week, Robinhood said just a limited number of customers had been struck by cyber criminals. And as Microsoft and Sony prepare to launch their new video game consoles, another legendary player, Atari, is readying its first new hardware in more than 20 years. The Atari VCS will come with a twist, a way for gamers to spend cryptocurrency while they play. The product will offer access to more than 100 Atari arcade games and home classics like Pong, plus new titles. It will have internet connectivity and let consumers buy products using Atari tokens. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. John, good morning.
And Karen, New York City restaurants are open with 25% indoor capacity. That's expected to increase to 50% in November. But for a lot of owners, the numbers don't add up. Danny Abrams has only been able to reopen one of the seven restaurants in his group, and he joins us now. Danny, your business survived through 9/11, the Great Recession, and Hurricane Sandy. How does the pandemic compare?
There's no comparison. You know, the recession, we were able to break even in most restaurants. We didn't make any money that year or the year and a half. But at least we lived to fight another day.
Are they all facing the same challenges right now with the pandemic, or is this something unique to one in a different location?
They all have their own issues and struggles. The first struggle was with landlords. We closed our restaurant on 2nd Avenue, the Mermaid Inn, the original. Our lease was up, and we'd been working on an extension prior to COVID. And when COVID hit, the landlord just became unreasonable. So we had to give up that restaurant, which was difficult. We were under construction for a new Mermaid Bistro on 83rd in Amsterdam and could not see our way forward. So we gave the keys back to the landlord, and that landlord was wonderful.
Do you have to have a minimum threshold before it's even worth opening the doors?
For me, the minimum threshold for a restaurant that's not currently open is like 75%. So even when we reach 50%, it's just really not going to work for us. We'll keep the Mermaid Inn on the Upper West Side open because that's a big restaurant. And who knows if the customers are coming back.
How much leeway is the PPP giving you?
I think the PPP has been a disaster. They gave us 8 weeks' worth of money for what's going to be a 52-week problem.
All right, Danny. New York City restaurateur Danny Abrams, thanks a lot. Best of luck, Ed. We'll continue to bring you stories of small businesses trying to survive during the pandemic every day at this time on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. That's your Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. S&P futures are up 3 points this morning. Dow futures up 42. NASDAQ futures up 18. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 0.71%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.1% now at $40.53 a barrel. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keen, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz is straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.